Thanks for tuning in to Express Yourself. Happy Friday. We're on every Friday afternoon, 4 to 5 p.m. here on KD&K. It is a couple minutes after 4. KD&K is your community access radio located in the heart of the Carbondale Creative District. I'm your host today, Brian Colley, and here on the show we feature all things culture and creativity in and around the Roaring Fork Valley, from visual artists and makers to performing artists and musicians and so much more. Here's what's coming up on today's show. A little later on, we're going to have a conversation with Lara Whitley, who's the program lead with Aspen Public Art, talking about an artist opportunity with WeCycle, plus a free public workshop planned in March about how to get involved in the public art scene, so stay tuned for that. Towards the end of the show, we'll have members of Carbondale's favorite jam band, Typical Ghost, here in the studio to talk about their show tomorrow night at the Ute Theater in Rifle. But first, we have some special guests to talk about the carnival coming to town, the circus coming to town in a couple weeks. We're going to talk about all things Carbondale Arts Fashion Show, of course. That's coming up on today's show, so don't touch that dial. Hello, special guests.
Hello.
Hey. Hi.
Fashion show. Hello, Megan, Emily, and Emily. Why don't we go around and just introduce each of you and your perspective roles in the upcoming Carbondale Arts Fashion Show called Step Right Up. Who wants to go first?
I'll go. I'm Emily Riley, the program manager at Carbondale Arts. And in regards to fashion show, I've been handling all things tickets, volunteers, and the little things that fall through the cracks.
That's not a small job. Emily Riley, thanks for all you do. Keeping the show on the road, so to speak.
That's right. And I'm Emily Pfeiffer. I'm co-director with Megan Shapiro. Also taking care of all the dance and performance kind of pieces in between the fashion. Yeah.
Thanks, Emily.
And I'm Megan Shapiro, co-directing with Emily Pfeiffer and helping with dance, but also mostly holding the model and fashion designer side of things this year.
Excellent. Yeah, it's quite a show, you guys. What's the annual number we're at? Do you know? Is it
15?
15?
Final answer.
Some people might say 22. You don't know anymore.
700.
And this year's theme, of course, is called Step Right Up. Who wants to kind of give an overview of what that means for us?
I can try. So we're really excited about this theme. We've been excited about it from the moment it was chosen. It just is ripe with content and ideas and a million directions we could go. We're excited to share it with the audience. We definitely have approached the theme from a narrative perspective, from a storyboard perspective. We have come in through the lens of the carnival as a spectacle, mm-hmm. and how that relates to our attention, yeah. our attention economy, what we pay attention to, why, for how long, what we're doing with our gaze, with our energy.
I always love that there's multiple levels you can approach this show at. It's not always the face value. It's not just a carnival this year. It's always something more, something deeper. Yeah.
Yeah.
I did want to give a quick shout out also to Amy Kimberly, who has been the director of the fashion show since its beginnings and stepped away in the past year to give room for new people to take charge and make it grow. And that's what's happening this year. Some big shoes, but you guys are crushing it. I'm sure you're feeling crushed in this moment, but it's going to be
a little bit.
Definitely some stress.
You know, 2 weeks out, it's going to happen. Also, a shout out to Laura Stover, of course, who was instrumental in some of the projection mapping. She also did a designer line. She modeled in it. She did kind of, she had her fingers all over this show. And
yeah.
She's taken a year to step back to. But
yes,
there's so many people. We'd miss her. We miss Amy and Laura.
Yeah.
But there's the good news is that this community is strong, full of creative people stepping up. I think Corey Summers is a big part of this. Is his shop called Pika?
I don't know if it's Pika or Pika Designs.
Yeah.
But it's incredible in there.
Yeah. Yeah. He does a lot of great things. We just had a feature on him in the Creative District newsletter. Anybody else you want to give a shout out to in this?
Wiley Fox.
Yeah.
Brandon McDuffie is helping us with projections. Laura put together a great team to step in for her. We keep saying step in, and I'm like, we're stepping right up. What we're doing.
Right.
All the people are stepping in the right direction. Yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
But you, Megan and Emily, have been part of this show for many, many years. What's it like stepping right up, taking some charge of many of these pieces and parts of the puzzle? Thanks for explaining your roles, but what's that been like? And when did you start getting involved? How did that happen for you guys?
This is Emily, and I've been involved since 2016.
Wow, 10 years.
Well, it took, there was a couple years off in there, but I think this is, we don't talk about those years, but this is my seventh fashion show. And it's, I've been involved in many productions and in the creative and the storytelling. And mostly I've been involved in the dance component of it. Mm-hmm. So both as a dancer, a choreographer, and more recently assistant director of dance, and also just being part of assisting the creative team in storyboarding and kind of creating the theme of the story of the whole show. And so, yeah, mostly I've done that component. So this year it's a little bit more of a learning curve in being involved in the model and the fashion component. I've been at a lot of the rehearsals and sort of assisted Megan sometimes with the lines. And so it's been really fun to be a part of that component. It's a huge component, obviously, of the fashion show. So many people are involved, from the many, many designers to the all the models, which I think, what do we have, 45 models this year? Yeah. And how many designers?
26?
Yeah. So lots of people, of people to organize and to get into the space. And the modeling and the fashion lines are a whole other aspect of movement and choreography. So it's like a different lens, but that's been really, really fun to be a part of that.
Nice. Yeah. Well, thanks, Emily. How about you, Megan?
I mean, I echo all of that. I actually, exactly some of it, because I also got involved in 2016 as a dancer. And so, yeah, it's been 10 years, and this has been a really amazing opportunity to take on more. And the growth curve has been very steep and creatively satisfying at the same time.
That's
cool. Like, all the things are true for us, I think. And as you said, you know, big shoes that Amy has left. What I've been saying is, like, I didn't even try to step in them. I just, like, set them aside and was like, those are amazing. And so now we'll just do our best.
That's all you can do, right?
Yeah. But we, you know, it's been really incredible to be involved in all of the pieces of the show. I think that for us as choreographers and dancers and content creators, in that way, to be able to see, like, look at and have our fingers in the whole production has influenced how we look at, how we approach the dances, and how we're kind of trying to make that glue that pulls everything together. And I guess I think also the one of the most special things in the world, which Emily touched on, is that just getting to be with the full cast out of the gate in January, rather than we sort of usually have to wait. The dance community aspect of the show, we touch base and we're together a few times, but we don't really all fall in together until March. So just be able to connect with everybody out of the beginning of the process has been a real gift.
Yeah, I was going to ask, kind of, when did that whole process start? Not just like picking the show theme, but getting everyone involved. There were auditions for models and dancers. When was that? Back in the fall?
Dancer, yeah, dancer auditions were in November, and then dancing rehearsals got started right after Thanksgiving.
Got it.
Models auditioned in December and got started in January.
Okay. So the ball's been rolling,
yeah.
rolling.
Yeah. yeah.
And now I think there's a full cast rehearsal this coming Sunday. Mm-hmm. Is that the first time everyone's kind of...
It's the first, yeah, it's the first time everyone's been together since our first gathering as a cast in January, where we just got to know each other and connected, which was awesome. And so, yeah, this is the next time that we're all together with all the content starting to come together.
Well, I know there's just so many people and parts, and most of these people are volunteers, so it really takes this village to bring this show to life. It's pretty amazing. And if maybe we can switch gears. So, Emily Riley can tell us a little bit about what to expect the night of the shows. There's some extra fun things that, you know, ticket holders might know. And it is a sold-out show. I forgot to say that, maybe.
So hopefully you got your tickets.
Hopefully you got your tickets. It's a hot commodity. But what can ticket holders expect and the night of the show? It's Thursday, Friday, Saturday, March
12th,
13th, and 14th. Excellent.
Nailed it. Well, if you are a ticket holder and if you are a VIP ticket holder, you can show up as early as 6:30 p.m. to enjoy the VIP lounge, courtesy of El Dorado.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's a fun thing we've added, now open on Thursday as well.
Fun.
Yes. Otherwise, the doors open at 7 p.m. and the pre-show overture starts immediately. You can see the aerial performances, which we've been getting sneak peeks of in the launch pad. Mm-hmm. Very incredible. Mm-hmm. And a sneak peek at one of the lines, I hear. So definitely get there on time, get your seat, get your drink and mingle, and then butts in seats at 8, because the show starts promptly and it should be about a 90-minute runtime.
Okay, good to know. There's some snack boxes, I hear.
Yes, this year we have gourmet snack boxes for sale by Susie Jimenez. Another reason to show up early and snag one.
Yeah.
And then also new this year is our designer awards.
Oh, right. Yeah.
We're excited about that.
How does that work?
The People's Choice Award you can be a part of, and at the end of the show, scan the QR code, which will be in the program. And you can vote for your favorite designer and give them a chance to win $1,000.
Yeah. I know we've done awards before, but not a People's Choice. So that's exciting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Excellent. Well, let's see. Anybody want to talk about anything you're especially excited about? Unless you have some other notes you want to cover. I can cover whatever you want.
You can cover whatever we want.
We can.
We can just express all the things. Yeah, I don't know. Just thinking about the volunteer component, like I think Emily and I are just pretty blown away by the amount of time, energy, and like courage that everyone brings to this process. It's a lot of fun, but it's also vulnerable and it's hard work. Mm-hmm. And so I just encourage everyone in the audience to like hold that in mind a little bit, that everybody has just put in so much beautiful volunteer work to be there, from the people on the stage, from the people scanning your ticket.
Mm-hmm. Excellent point.
And another sort of beautiful layer of this show is that it's a fundraiser for Carbondale Arts. So lots of layers. I feel like there's so much heart that goes into it, both from community and volunteers. And it's really pretty special to be a part of it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I'm excited for the martini bar.
Oh, yeah. And I think you might know some of the drink specials.
Yes. Names are unconfirmed at this time, but if you're a fan of espresso martinis, I think you'll be quite pleased.
Nice.
And there's a little Saint Germain raspberry action.
Fun.
Yeah, we're really excited about the martinis.
The bar is like
year.
A whole other component that takes a lot of creativity and effort from a lot of volunteers.
And great sponsors. We have a lot of local beer, wine, and liquor. So thanks to all those guys.
There are quite a number of sponsors for this show. So thank you for supporting Carbondale Arts. Thank all of you for everything you do. It's such a lift, but it's a special time that we get to celebrate all these different people, and the fashion lines are so amazing every year. It's just incredible when they come out.
Yeah.
It's quite a production.
Yeah, it's an incredible format that Amy created that mm-hmm. brings mm-hmm. all these different pieces together. Mm-hmm. It's really special. I haven't heard of anyone doing it anywhere else in the world.
Yeah. I hear from every year from people who have never seen this show, they don't feel like they're in Carbondale anymore. They're like, did I just go to New York City? Like, the quality and the level of production is the highest. Is what I've heard. Yeah.
New York Fashion Week, watch out.
I did get a text from someone at New York Fashion Week, a Carbondalian who was at New York Fashion Week.
Whoa.
And she texted, she's like, sorry, I'm in the VIP seats at New York Fashion Week, and it is nothing compared to the Carbondale Arts Fashion Show. Wow.
Those high VIP tickets prices you paid were worth it.
That's right.
That's right.
Awesome. Well, let's see. If you want to support Carbondale Arts and all the things we do, it's carbondalearts.com. Anything else you want to throw out there before we play some carnival music that we found?
Yes, carnival music.
I thought there was a playlist out there living, but Emily helped me find a song.
Okay.
So.
There is a playlist out there living. Maybe we'll release it on March 15th.
Cool.
Yeah.
Oh, and this show will be video, is that right? Mm-hmm. And released later on for people who missed
it. Yes, it definitely will be videoed. Yeah. I don't know when it will be released or how, but yes.
It's not like being in the seats with everybody and the energy there, but it's something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Emily Riley, Emily Pfeiffer, Megan Shapiro, for all you do and coming on Express Yourself today.
Thanks, Brian.
Let's see if I can get this song to play here.
And you never will die. You've seen our kind come, you've seen our kind go. We'll get you real high when you're feeling so low. We'll calm your nervous nellies, energize all you chose. We sell magical elixirs here at Dr. Feelgood's Traveling Medicine Show.
Thank you to the team behind the fashion show. Coming up in a couple weeks. Thanks for tuning in to Katie and K's Express Yourself. We're going to keep the ball rolling here with an interview I had via phone with the Aspen Public Art Program. And the conversation was a couple days ago when there was still snow. We might have a reference to that in the conversation. Stay tuned here with Laura Whitley. Well, thanks, Laura Whitley, for joining us on Katie and K today for Express Yourself. Laura, how's it going up in Aspen?
Oh, we're enjoying the snow that we've all been waiting for all season.
It's probably going to be gone by the time this airs on Friday. But maybe not.
It might. Maybe not. I went for a cross-country ski this morning and still hanging on.
Ugh. Yeah, I went up to Spring Gulch over this last weekend, and it was glorious.
Yeah.
It was the best.
Winter has finally arrived, and now we're going to be talking about some spring things here, Brian.
Just in time. Laura, what's your role with the Aspen Public Arts Program?
I am the program lead. So I run the City of Aspen's Public Art Program.
Wow. That must be a fun job.
You know what? It is. I feel really lucky that when this job opened last year that I was ready to apply and to have landed it in a very competitive field. So it's a privilege.
Yeah. And you work with some of the team at the Red Brick Arts Center. Is that right?
Yes. We're all a team at the Red Brick, running the community art center, the facility itself, the gallery program, the education program, and the cultural vibrancy fellowship.
Right. Wow. You guys have a lot going on, and I'm sure your role as the lead program lead for Aspen Public Art Program has got its own set of things to do on your list.
It's keeping me busy because we have a lot of great things planned for the community.
Well, let's talk about a couple of those coming up. Which one do you want to start off with?
Why don't we talk about the Art in Motion project.
Great. Yeah, I was reading about that this morning. Art in Motion, it's a partnership with WeCycle, is that right?
Yes, this is their project that turns their bikes and kiosks into mobile art galleries featuring local artists. And we are building on the project in Carbondale, which I think you may be in the second year, and also in Snowmass this last year, and to bring the talents of Roaring Fork Valley artists to our streets.
Yeah. Yeah. The Carbondale Creative District got to work with a bunch of artists. Well, we put a call out to a bunch of artists, and we ended up working with Bailey Haynes, local artist, printmaker, painter. And she has her designs all over Carbondale now on the bike kiosks, I guess, and I think on the bikes themselves, too. How does that all work? How are you reaching out to artists, and what's the selection process like?
Well, we just opened up a call to artists this week, and it runs through March 18th. Mark that date. It's for artists ages 16 and up who are residents of the Roaring Fork Valley, like if you're in our watershed. And it's a licensing opportunity, and we're selecting 5 artists, and each of them will receive a $1,500 stipend.
Wow.
For us to have the honor of using their art.
Yeah. And it sounds, I can't remember, I think there's like 38 stations in Aspen, I think, and like 100 bikes, part of the bike share program.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So all of the pedal bikes and kiosks in the Aspen system for this bike share season, which is May through October in Aspen.
Wow. Yeah, WeCycle is doing a lot of good stuff and just providing that alternate source of transportation. I mean, Aspen, May through October makes sense for bicycling. Mm-hmm. And I think they have a bunch more stations across the whole Roaring Fork Valley. I think it's like, I don't know if you have that number in front of you, but it's a lot.
I don't, but all I know is that WeCycle, I believe they celebrated their 10th anniversary last year, and they continue to grow and to make our community a better place to live, work, and visit, as does the arts in our valley. So it's a great partnership.
Yeah. What kind of works are you looking for? Are you looking for like a specific like illustration kind of look, or is it kind of open to everything?
You know, the most important thing is less about the medium, but I'll get there, but that the works are bold and they're vibrant designs with strong graphic impact that you can appreciate from a distance or up close.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, the images we're looking for can come from a variety of media. They could be painting, drawing, photography, printmaking, illustration, mixed media, collage, even 3D works of art, because what we're looking at is a photo of these things. And then what will happen is we will license those artworks for decals. The decals will be printed and installed on the bikes and kiosks.
Wow. Yeah, and I guess I never thought about how that WeCycle program is. I mean, I did for Carbondale Creative District with Bailey's work, but thinking about how art on bicycles and kiosks is a form of public art. That's art that's out in the public. It's getting out there in front of all
those
eyeballs.
Yeah, art in motion.
Yeah.
We become a mobile gallery, part of the streetscape.
That's so cool.
You know, so.
Great. That's a great project.
I wanted to just reemphasize that March 18th deadline because we want to get as many applicants as possible. And the application portal and information on Art in Motion plus templates design criteria can be accessed most directly through www.aspenpublicart.com.
Okay. Aspenpublicart.com. $1,500 stipend. That's great for 5 different artists. Way to go.
Yeah, we really want to be part of a fair wage for artists in our community.
Yeah. Well, thanks for supporting the local creatives here. That's important.
100%.
All right. Well, let's talk about what else you got going on. I think it's maybe a week later after the 18th. Is that right?
Yes, Wednesday, March 25th, we're having an inaugural event on public art. It's called Public Art in the Making. It'll be held at the Red Brick Center for the Arts in the evening. And it's a lively evening exploring how public art comes to life from idea to installation.
Yeah.
It'll be 5 to 7:30 p.m. I'm very excited, fair listeners, to let you know that your own Brian Colley will be doing a live drawing performance at the event.
No pressure, Brian.
Yeah, because I didn't know if you were going to announce it. Folks who join us, this is an event for anyone who is curious about public art or ready to create it. So we're going to gather and provide a sneak preview of the 2026 public art season. There will also be a panel discussion on the process and creation of public art. And that's called How Did That Get Here? Public Art from Idea to Inspiration.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be facilitated by Sarah Roy, the executive director of the Red Brick, in conversation with Michael Stout from Carbondale Arts,
nice.
Andrea Jenkins Wallace from Anderson Ranch Art Center, and Laura Whitley of Aspen Public Art.
Laura Whitley.
And
nice.
Then we also have a hands-on workshop for artists 16 and up who are looking to break into public art. And
wow.
That is, yes.
This is all like one evening.
There's wow. You have to choose your own adventure. You either go to the panel discussion or you go to the workshop.
I see.
Yeah, we break out because otherwise we would be there for 6 hours. And we just don't have that much pizza. Get us all through 6 hours.
It's a great motivator, pizza.
Yeah. So after the sneak preview, we'll split up. Everybody breaks into what they're most interested in. And the workshop is called Breaking into Public Art. It's led by two Metro Denver-based curators, artists, arts advocates, Colin Parson of the Arvada Center for Arts and Humanities, and Emily Grace King, who is an independent curator and artist. They are sharp. They are funny as all get out.
Mm-mm.
They bring prizes.
Oh, wow.
I got to experience them in a workshop at the Colorado Creative Industries Summit last year. And it's just a good time way to learn stuff for folks who want to break into public art.
Wow.
So, I'm very excited that they're coming up and joining us.
Yeah. When you talk about public art, what kind of things are you thinking about? Because it's some people have like an idea in their mind if it's, you know, a mural, let's say. But there's all kinds of different public art pieces out there.
There are all kinds. I'm glad you asked that. And I should have an answer at the ready. I'm going to improvise a little. Public art, I think of as artworks or art experiences that first are in the public realm
mm-hmm.
and second are free and accessible to all. They are not bound necessarily by walls. And those could be murals, like you mentioned. Those could be art installations, sculptures. A lot of times we think of things we run into in the landscape, in a park. That's a common place for these things. They could be dance experiences like a flash mob. They could be projection mapping like Buckhorn Public Arts presented on the Wheeler
right.
earlier this winter.
Yep.
These could be kinetic. These could be lighting. There's the realm of what is included in public art is large.
Yeah.
The most important thing is that it is inclusive and accessible, because you don't need a ticket or to get behind a gate to see it.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And so when we're putting a call out for an event like this for people to break into public art, what mm-hmm. kind of people are you hoping show up? Or, you know, hopefully they're listening to this radio show and they'll be like, that's for me. That's, you know, what kind of people do you think? Is that just for everybody, or do they have some art experience?
Well,
just anybody who's curious.
Yes, I think this is going to be, space is limited on this one.
Okay.
And so I think we really want to have artists age 16 and up who can see themselves like a few, they're already artists, but they see a future in public art or they're curious about it.
Yeah.
Like, I always wanted to know how to do that.
Yeah.
And then the panel discussion, How'd That Get Here? That is for people who love to understand behind the scenes mm-hmm. or process. Mm-hmm. What does it take to make that happen kind of a thing?
Yeah.
And that is open to anyone. General public can come and be curious about that.
Yeah, that's going to be really interesting. I think I haven't really been involved in too much public art, but I did get to do a collaboration with Chris Erickson 2 or 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. That was through you guys, maybe before the official like public arts program was launched, but it was very much like in the public eye, right in front of the Wheeler on the street.
Yes.
That was cool.
In 2023, and that was the demonstration project for what became Aspen Public Art.
Yeah.
Which finally was founded and funded last year by the city of Aspen.
Wow. And it was really cool to be kind of part of that behind the scenes with Chris Erickson and to know, mm-hmm. like, oh, my gosh, he had to get all these things prepped before I could even show up and help, you know, mix paint and stuff for him. So I'm sure you
working at scale takes a team a lot of time.
And how long have you've been at the Aspen Public Arts for how many years now? Couple?
Oh, it just started in April.
Yeah.
2025.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm the first person in the role and Aspen has actually had public art since 1893.
What?
So, yes.
What was
that?
The
Silver Queen statue.
Oh, my gosh.
That was commissioned by Aspen, a sculptor from Hiram L. Johnson from Pueblo, to make this 18-foot glittering testament to the Silver Cause and bring it to the Chicago World's Fair.
Wow.
And so it was a work of political art or propaganda art to try to lobby the president to not do away with the silver currency.
Wow.
So it's been a part of our DNA in this valley for over 130 years with lots of great stops along the way.
Yeah.
But it was always an ad hoc or informal happening before that. And so this is, well, we've had public art in our valley all this time. This is the first time the city of Aspen has had an official program.
Very cool. There's a lot of exciting things you're a part of. Laura Whitley, tell us how to sign up for this event on March 25th.
Well, at the moment, I want everybody to save the date. But in this week, our website will go live, and you'll be able to register again at aspenpublicart.com. If you end up on the Red Brick website, you can get there too, but aspenpublicart.com is the most direct line and people can just sign up. It's free with an RSVP.
Oh, great. Always love free and pizza and maybe some prizes from the two
and some trivia. That's
and
right.
And some trivia. Awesome.
You may have heard one of the questions during this interview. Pay attention.
You could be a winner. Well, awesome. Thanks so much for all the things you do, Laura. And always great to talk with you and hear what's going on up in Aspen. So we feel connected as a valley.
Brian, I really appreciate you sharing all these opportunities and creating such community and an ecosystem of artists in our valley. And it's always a pleasure to talk to you.
Well, you too. Right back at you.
Okay, I'll see you on the cross-country trail.
Sounds great. Thank you, Laura.
No laugh.
All right.
Okay, take care.
Bye. Have a good day.
Tell you now how it starts at the onset. Tell you now how I know it's true. Saw the change in the color of the sunset. Got a nudge that I missed my cue. Saw the fall in the disappointment. Should have known that I knew you knew. Make it up, paint a point of view. Throwing sticks on a raging fire. Catching wind as the embers grew. Pivoting as the flames grew higher. Gotta run, run from you. Everything is a situation. Everything's centering on you. Try to obviate a conversation. Gotta get away, get away. We'll be right back.
to the other extreme, imagining the light as a single sunbeam, so many little pieces in a harmonized dream. In between the typical dream, middle of the road to the other extreme, imagining the light as a single sunbeam, so many little pieces in a harmonized dream.
Well, we are just listening to Pieces by Typical Ghost, which came out last spring. Is that right?
That's correct.
That album? Well, we got some of the members of Typical Ghost. I think we got 4 out of 6. Is that right?
4 out of 6.
That's correct.
Sweet. Why don't you go around and introduce yourselves? Say hi to the people.
Hello, people. my name's Sam Chittenden, and I play bass.
Thanks, Sam.
I'm John Moffitt, and I play guitar and sing.
Thank you, John.
Hi, I'm Shane Lieberman. I also play guitar and sing.
Thanks, Shane.
And I'm Eric Lamb. I play the keyboards.
Thank you, Eric. And remind me who we're missing. Susie Lindblom and...
Chris Lamb is on drums. He's our drummer.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Unrelated Lamb.
Oh, okay.
Well, maybe at least from this life, unrelated.
Unrelated Lamb. That could be a good band name. Let's see. You released your debut album last spring, 2025, and you also recently finished a new recording at Coolbrick Studios because you're about to be like on tour. Maybe is that what's the plan? Is you have a concert tomorrow at the Ute Theater, so I didn't want to leave that out. Tomorrow, Saturday night in Rifle, coming up. So I want to talk about your upcoming album.
Yeah,
what's the name of that new album? Do you have a name?
Good question. We don't have a name for it yet.
Yeah, we actually have to name that one. The first one was just called Typical Ghost. You know, the second album comes out, you actually have to think of a name for it.
Right. No pressure.
That's right. Forever. Like naming a child. That's a lot of pressure
there.
Got
a stick.
I was going for James Brown Lieberman for my kid, but Talia wasn't going for it.
Well, we can talk about the first album, too. How many songs did you have on that?
That one's
Typical Ghost.
10, right?
10?
Yeah, I think 10.
10 songs, yeah.
Yeah, and this new album sounds like you got a little less.
We've got 4.
But they're not epic in length.
Yeah, these are great tunes that we picked out. We have so much material that we've all been writing and contributing. It's been great. And we actually had to, you know, settle on 4 tunes. We wanted to go in and just do 4 of them. So we picked out 4 of our, you know, 4 of our favorite songs at this time, and went in a little bit different. The first album we went in and just kind of tried to keep it tight, you know, short solos. And this time we went in, we're like, well, let's just play around with it a little bit and see what comes up. Let's just really focus on capturing some good energy, like the same kind of energy that we bring to our live shows.
Yeah.
So, that's what we did this time around. And, you know, we're in the middle of it right now. We're just about done recording. We're going to go into the mixing phase. And, you know, every time I listen to these tracks, I think too, like, hey, we did it. You know, we captured some of the energy that we were looking for. So I think this will be a good album as well. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's probably a hard thing to do, to capture that energy behind a recording. You were at Coolbrick Studios, and I know Dave Taylor does a good job.
Yeah, we love working with Dave.
Mastering
all
that.
Absolutely.
I don't know, what was the feel like when you were recording? And when you were recording like a 10-minute song, how do you keep that energy alive for the whole time? And then without messing up one little thing, you have to go back and do the whole thing
again.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, we did some of that for sure. I think one of the great things about this particular band is too, like, we just have fun with it. You know, it's really like everybody gets along really well, and you know, there's always laughter coming out of rehearsals. And
nice.
So we just go and have fun with it. And that's, you know, the same kind of energy we try to bring both to our shows and what we try to bring into the studio as well.
Yeah. So, nice.
Yeah. I think we were able to be a little more focused this round too, because it was like less than half the songs we kind of went in going for. You know, long, but just less sort of like sense of having to get through a lot of material, and we were able to sort of give it like, you know, more rounds or more experimentation or more kind of
improvisation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. While still sort of sticking to the forms.
That's
and
right.
All that stuff. So.
Nice.
I also think it's helpful to imagine live performances and the energy that we've seen there with people dancing and just that kind of reception, and visualizing that when we're in the studio least for me, was really helpful. Because I think from my experience playing with typical ghosts, there's a real joyful vibe, you know, really good energy.
For sure. Yeah, I've seen you guys several times. I know at Mountain Fair, I think there was maybe a Takah performance, or I'm thinking of a different spot. But yeah, the crowd is alive. You guys bring people to their feet. It's a fun time. I'd love to hear a little bit about your music backgrounds and how the band started, kind of like an origin story of Typical Ghost. Who wants to start
origin that story on? Of origin. Typical Ghost?
Yeah. The original haunting. We can edit that out later.
Well, go ahead, Shane.
Yeah, I moved from the Front Range in 2022 up here. I'd been playing in bands forever. You know, had bands going on down there for the last 20 years or so. And when we moved up here, it was like, okay, hopefully I'll find some guys that are, you know, good and fun to play with. And, you know, it's totally exceeded my expectations at that point. I think I met Sam first. We were walking the dogs I don't know, somehow music came up. I was like, oh, do you play music? He's like, oh, I play bass and drums. Oh, cool. Let's start jamming. And then some of the guys I met through work, I work with John's wife, and she's like, hey, my husband plays guitar. I'm like, is he any good? And she's like, yeah, he's really good. Okay, cool.
It's always that tentative, like, impression.
That's right. You know, met Chris Lamb, the drummer, the same way. It was through work. His wife works with me as well. So it's really, you know, just kind of made these connections through the community. Mm-hmm. Eric here at one of the school nights at CCS. His son and my daughter are a grade apart and kind of in the same class. And somehow we started chatting as well about music. And I was like, hey, we're looking for a keyboard player. That would be great.
Yep.
So yep. That's a lot of how it came together, just through community, which is, you know, pretty cool too.
Cool. You know, it's a good community to be part of.
Yeah, and sure. Three of us like live on the same block. And
oh wow,
it's
block
really
party.
Cool.
You're typical block party.
That's right.
Dang. That's right. Well, can you talk about how some of these songs come together? How do you kind of form the beginnings of a new song? Are you kind of noodling at home, and then you approach the band with an idea, and then people build?
I think
off
we
of that?
All kind of. Probably approach it in some different ways, but also similar ways at the same time. Mm-hmm. For me, it's it's a lot of you know, pulling together, whether it's lyrics or whether it's chords and putting together the form, and then bringing that to the band. I think that for me, the beauty of what we do is, you know, I'll come with an idea of, hey, how about this for this particular idea that I have. And then all of a sudden, it just kind of shapes, molds, forms, and voila, there it is. And then it keeps kind of forming and shaping and forming and shaping until we go into the studio. And then it's like, all right, now we've got to be serious of what this form looks like.
Right.
And then out pops, you know, the actual song. But, you know, there's a lot of songs, too, that we haven't recorded, and we still perform those as well. So it's just been, for me, it's been really fun and just exciting to bring an idea and see where it goes with all the different talent and all the different, you know, musical backgrounds that each of us brings. It's fun to see where it goes.
Yeah, the open format of that kind of beginning. How does that work for you, Sam, as, like, the drummer? Coming in, do you just kind of find the beat, or do you?
Well, no, I do the bass.
Bass.
Yeah. But I, you know, I tell Chris what to do all the time. No, I'm sorry. He's
Hopefully
not here.
Chris
he can't defend himself. I'm totally joking. It's you
just
know,
kind of find your way.
Each song is a little different. Yeah, some come in with much more sort of, I guess, defined parts or defined ideas. And some are looser, and then we kind of find it together depending on the song, and sometimes it changes. I mean, I'm always kind of, at least in the first, you know, initial times we play and jam on songs, figuring out what's working, what's not working for my parts, and, you know, how can I, well, I should back off there or whatever.
Yeah. No, it's like feeling it out, trying to figure out your part and where you belong, and I get that. Yeah, it's I grew up playing music and being in like a school orchestra where they hand you just like the sheet music and that's what you play and it's so different being part of in a band where you're, you know, you are creating the soundtrack, basically.
That's right. Yeah.
Well, do you guys play cover songs?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've got a good plethora of cover tunes that we do. We're going to play a fair amount tomorrow night at the Ute.
Nice.
You know, I think the energy we're looking for is, you know, let's get everybody out and let's do some dancing. Let's just have some fun together. So I think it's going to be a good time. We're going to try to keep it loose, do a little jamming, play some covers. Play the tunes from the new album that it's coming out.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, and then we have a couple of new tunes that we're debuting as well, that we're, you know, all real proud of, that we're like, these tunes are good too. Let's get these sure. ones out there.
Yeah.
So
it's becoming hard to create a set list because of all the music here.
Just like the 5-hour set list. Yeah. That's great. I mean, you keep the energy rolling. So I think you can do whatever you want on that stage. How do you choose cover songs out of curiosity? Because as a jam band, the Roaring Fork Valley's favorite jam band, there's so many to choose from and just like noodle on forever, you know?
Yeah.
You can just keep going.
Yeah, we have like certain bands we keep coming back to. You know, we do a few Talking Heads tunes. We do a few Allman Brothers tunes, which we like. I like playing with John a lot, like doing the two guitars. Mm-hmm. So it's like it really just leads itself to these super cool Allman Brothers, you know, these cool compositions and then the songs that come with them. And then, yeah, we've been doing, some Pink Floyd and
cool.
Kind of some different covers throughout. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I think whenever you do covers as a band, you have to look at the musicians that you have. You have to look at, you know, the instruments and what other bands have found success in songwriting and putting together some bangers with that composition of instruments. And what I really like about the style and the covers that Typical plays is, you know, you got the hand percussion, which just adds that extra element. Like as Shane was talking about, the double guitars and then the keys, like so much melodic play between instruments and building each other up. And we have been thinking about expanding our cover list. There aren't like a ton of bands that fit the same, you know, structure. So
well, you have a lot of strong originals too. So
exactly. Which is why we focus a lot on original, I think, is we're just unique in that way.
Yeah. So tomorrow night, how can people get tickets or learn more about you guys as a band, Typical Ghost?
Well, you can, all the information's on our website, typicalghost.com. For tomorrow night's show, I think tickets are available at the Ute Theater website too, which I think is just utetheater.org. Google it.
Yeah. Google it.
It's in Rifle.
Nice. Sweet. I love your merch too. I love all the things you guys and Shane's wearing, a Typical Ghost. Is that a hangman? Yeah.
It's a TG, actually.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
I like that.
This was one of our first ones.
I see.
we're going to darken that design up.
we're going to take us out here with your song Away on your debut album from last spring. Anything you want to say about Away as we take us away into the weekend?
Well, thanks for having us on, Brian.
For sure,
we really appreciate it.
Sure.
It's always fun to partner with Katie and Kay.
Yeah.
And having us on the show. And, yeah, hope to see y'all tomorrow at the Ute Theater. And this Away tune is one of John's tunes, so I'll let him kind of tell you about it a little bit.
Yeah.
What should I say?
Take it away.
Take a listen.
Just listen and form your own opinion. See how it speaks to you.
Well, thank you all for being part of the show.
Thanks,
Brian. You're going to take us out. Happy Friday. See you next week.
Confusing, don't know what to say. Look to the hills, seek solitude, but I only find I'm back today. Lies, deception, peace, insanity. Those are the games they play sitting right next to me.
still as they should be. Those are the moves they say while a mystery to me. The space and existence seems to push on me. I look for the space between where's typical to see. Freedom, containment, or intention. And here, truth illuminates as does fear.